Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Steve Vaughn, also with me today. And we're coming back to politics, and I got to thinking, we've been hitting politics a few times this month, largely because, well, the every four-year presidential election is approaching, and the Word of God is there to equip the man of God for every good work, including whatever good work is done in the voting booth. Now, my life is not all politics. We got to be careful that we don't get back to politics as if it's the end-all and be-all of life. It's not that. Hey, my life has been, what, four or five Bible studies in the last week or so. Our church experience, the multi-church prayer meeting that's happening tonight. And my family taking my wife out, spending some extra special time with Brenda last night. And discipling our kids this morning in Psalm 71. And then what did we do last night? Oh, we were in Luke chapter 1 last night talking about the birth of John the Baptist. All right, so, you know, that was my life. Turns out my life isn't really focused very much on President Donald Trump. My life involves family, church, work, equipping the man of God for every good work, and politics is in the mix. But, Steve, it just shouldn't be, you know, 74% of life.
No, it shouldn't. I mean, we do deal with politics, and any true science can actually lead you to the gospel, which would include political science, because we take a look at where do our rights come from. They don't come from the government. They don't come from any, you know, political document. Our rights come from God, and that's a way that you could lead people into even sharing the gospel through the use of political science. You can use biology, chemistry, math, all of those types of things. True sciences will lead you to God, but that's not our God. Politics is not our God. Our president is not our God. Government's not our God. God is God, and that's what we need to be focused on.
That's so good. And, you know, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that includes President Trump and all the presidents and the Congress and judicial leaders of the world. And, you know, we want to acknowledge Christ's rule, and it's important for us to bring everything to the feet of Christ. Now, granted, not everybody is willing to bring all their policies and their votes and their elections before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge his rule and his law. And yet we do, and we should, and that's appropriate. We bring everything to the foot of Christ. Well, some don't. They set themselves against the Lord and his anointed, but that doesn't usually work out very well. In fact, that never works out well.
yeah.
He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, and on. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, lest his anger be kindled but a little. So, again, yes, We acknowledge the importance of the civil magistrate, and it's appropriate, but the civil magistrate should bow the knee to Christ. And that Psalm 2 was acknowledged in Acts chapter 4 as the church, the early church, prayed God's blessings upon themselves in the midst of the persecution that came from the civil magistrates of their time. Well, back to politics. All right, so the presidential election is coming up, Steve. You've got Biden ahead by 8 to 16 percentage points, depending on which poll you're looking at. The liberal CNN and NBC polls are always up around 12 to 16%. Everybody else down around 8 to 9%. I wonder why that is. I'm just wondering if perhaps CNN and NBC might be a little biased in this. Actually,
yeah, maybe
if you ever attend their newscast or you watch their you know, online reports, you're going to see it's all anti-Trump. I think it, what is it now, 99.999% anti-Trump?
Yeah, and that might be a little low.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, Real Clear Politics has it at 9%. Biden's got a 9% lead after the debate. It was 6% before the debate. So I think those could be pretty accurate. But a couple of things to consider concerning the polls, friends. There have been a number of come-from-behinds for incumbents. George W. Bush was behind John Kerry in Real Clear Politics polls by 2.7 percentage points, but one with a popular vote margin of 2.4, so this is a 6% improvement. In mid-October 2012, Barack Obama was behind Mitt Romney by 1.5, one by 3.9. So you have examples in which there was a 5, 6 percentage point improvement on the election, and I think that's possible for the president as well going into the 2020 elections. Also, here's an interesting data point. The ABC Washington Post tracking poll, Clinton was ahead of Donald Trump, again, in 2016, by 12 points on October 23rd. Okay, so she's ahead by 12 points. Remember this. We were thinking,
Oh, wait,
there's no way to salvage this one. Well, she was ahead by 12 points on the ABC poll, but that lead had narrowed to 1 point a week later, and then kaboom, Donald Trump took the election. I think she was a little ahead on the popular vote, but he took it in terms of the electorals. So, friends, what does this mean? Here's what this means. What this means is the voting base is fickle, okay? Public opinion always back and forth, back and forth, back and forth as the wind blows. And, hey, you know who controls the wind? Okay, now this is really key. What controls the populace? Now, I know some people say, yeah, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he wills. But certainly not the hand or the heart of the democracy in the hands of the Lord. Certainly the Lord does not control the hearts of 140 million voters. That I think, is the assumption of a fair number of people. Because everybody knows, quote unquote, the democracy is God on earth. And there is no sovereign God who stuffs the ballot boxes and sways the hearts of the voters one way or the other. To which we say, what, Steve? The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever he wills. And the same thing has got to apply to the democracy.
Yeah, God's in control. He's the one. I mean, if it even says that God is the one who puts the rulers on their thrones or in the Oval Office or wherever it is, and he does so for his purposes, not for ours. It's always for his glory and the strengthening of the church. That's what all of this is about. It's always about that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happens is to the glory of God and to the strengthening of his church.
A lot of things, friends. The voting base is fickle. There is also the question of the Amish vote. A friend of mine who's got roots in the Amish out in Pennsylvania said, could have been a million Amish that showed up for Trump in the 2016 in swing states like Pennsylvania and Ohio. So there's the Amish vote, you know, they might show up. And then there's also the question of whether people are honest in their support for an unpopular president like Donald Trump in the polls. Unpopular because he's publicly shamed, and nobody else really wants to be publicly shamed with the president, despite the fact they may actually like him. You know, the people who like it may still be in the closet, and we'll see what happens on election day. So these are the sorts of things that I think are occurring to people at this point. But friends, here's the deal. The heart of the democracy is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whithersoever he wills. Donald Trump is president of the United States because God put him there. And if Biden wins the election coming up here in November, it's because God put him there. Let's talk about Biden's agenda next on the Generations broadcast. What would it look if Biden wins? That next on Generations.
Are you homeschooling this year and feeling a little in over your head? Are you burdened by expectations for your kids in their future college, career, and success? We've got just the thing for you. This October 12th through 6th, find super practical, eternal-focused help for raising your children to be disciples of Jesus Christ in the midst of homeschooling at the free online Homeschool Upgrade Summit. Whether this is your 20th year of homeschooling or your very first one, get ready for a big upgrade to your vision, relationships, academics, and success, that in everything, Christ might have the preeminence. We've got a great lineup of speakers, including Kevin Swanson, Vodi Bauckham, Rosaria Butterfield, Dave and Karen Eubank from Free Burma Rangers, Dr. Carlton McLeod, and many more. Set your homeschool on the path to true success by signing up today. You can register for free at homeschoolsummits.com/upgrade. That's homeschoolsummits.com/upgrade.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson and my friend Steve on with us today. And Steve, you know, I got to thinking as I was reviewing Biden's agenda. And by the way, Biden is turning left. The left is turning left. The left is armed for bear, and they are going to bring the leftist agenda back with a vengeance. That's what's happening with the current state of American politics. The right's turning right, the left's turning left, and they don't like each other. That's obvious. I got to thinking probably the best line for the Biden campaign this year would be the line from Rehoboam. And you remember the line from Rehoboam in the Old Testament where Rehoboam refers to his father, "My father beat you with whips, I will beat you with scorpions." I thought that'd make a good bumper sticker for the Biden campaign. I will beat you with scorpions. Make it shorter. I think that'd be probably the best way to summarize the Biden agenda for 2020. I will beat you with scorpions. I think that works.
Yeah, I think that works pretty well because every indication shows that taxes are going to skyrocket. There's going to be a lot more destruction, a lot more death, you know, just as a consequence of all of his directly and indirectly consequential of his election.
Yeah.
Because he's going to, I would see him bumping up support for Planned Parenthood, more masks, more closures of businesses. It's just going to be, I think, awful.
Yeah, he's coming back with a vengeance. That's the leftist agenda this time around. Biden would increase taxes by $4.3 trillion over 10 years compared to President Trump's plan to decrease tax revenue by $1.7 trillion. And even their federal deficit's slightly different. Biden's looking at about an $8.3 trillion deficit for 10 years, and Trump's right around $6.85 trillion. I'm not saying that these guys' approach is that much different, but it does appear that Biden is going to up the ante as much as he can when it comes to tax increases. That's what socialists do as you're working your way towards totalitarian government. And as far as abortion is concerned, yeah, he's about killing more kids. He just said this yesterday. The Supreme Court very well may overrule Roe, and the only responsible response to that would be to pass legislation to make Roe the law of the land. That's what I would do. So he would legislate a Roe that would apparently allow for abortion in all 50 states by legislation. Biden has also turned against the Hyde Amendment, as you mentioned. He was always for it over the centuries. He's not that old. Over the decades. Biden was supportive of the Hyde Amendment from virtually the beginning. But now Biden is saying no more Hyde Amendment, which means that he's going to be pushing abortion funding. The Hyde Amendment was soft resistance to abortion funding. They found ways around it. But the Hyde Amendment was something of resistance. And that's going away with Biden. Biden also supports the Equality Act, and this would establish new federally protected categories of sexual orientation, gender identity in every sphere of society. Male-bodied trans women, whatever that is, would have rights to women's private spaces, bathrooms, locker rooms, shelters, sports leagues. I'm guessing that applies as much to Christian schools, Christian colleges, as it does to public institutions. Employers would be forced to provide health care insurance for hormone treatment, sex assignment surgeries, etc. Essentially, anyone standing against the LGBTQ agenda would find themselves in violation of federal law under Biden. Joe Biden also says that he would reverse the religious exemption for Sisters of the Poor and any other Christian organization says, hey, I just don't really want to fund abortifacient contraceptives. Well, here's the summary to the issue. I think we need to be thankful. I think we need to be grateful for God's mercy on the nation. We have not had to submit to the directions of a President Hillary Clinton, and that's been God's mercy on the nation. And we need to take a moment from day to day, from week to week, and just thank God that he intervened. It's hard to believe, given the state of the media, given the state of the universities, given the state of the pop culture, given the state of Hollywood, and given the state of all of the massive influences that seem to run this country, that we have had something of a respite from Hillary Clinton for the last 4 years. So I'm thankful. I'm just thankful for this. Now, here's the deal. I think we've been given an opportunity to repent as a nation. So we're looking for repentance in the grassroots. Now, sadly, I don't think we see that. Now, this is similar to what happened with Hezekiah and Josiah in the Old Testament. Remember, you had something of a reviving, a turning back to God, a dependence upon God, a humbling themselves before God, sackcloth and ashes, et cetera, with Hezekiah and Josiah. I'm not saying we've had that with President Trump, but we've had something of a respite. The point is we've had a respite. And so, but what happens with Hezekiah and Josiah is that
you know, who follows Hezekiah? Who's the next president after Hezekiah? Manasseh. Okay, bad news. Who comes after Josiah? Jehoahaz. And Jehoiakim and everybody else who did everything that was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the whole thing went south, you know, the next year. So you tend to get these opportunities for national repentance, and yet the people hardened their hearts. They did not really repent under the encouragement of men like Hezekiah and Josiah. And then things get way, way worse under Manasseh and Jehoahaz, following the better king. So this is the principle that we need to be thinking about as we enter into the 2020 election, Steve.
Yeah, actually the king I was thinking of was Jeroboam II, when everything seemed to be going okay economically. They had peace on every side, and Amos comes along and says, "Don't count on it, guys. You're still not doing the right things." Mm-hmm. That was the king I was actually thinking of when you were mentioning this, because that, you know, that also could be, because things will go downhill, or could go downhill very quickly. And just as the northern tribes, the 10 tribes, lost their inheritance and their right to the land, we may be doing the same thing here.
Friends, the "I Will Beat You with Scorpions" campaign slogan with Biden this year in the 2020 elections, no question about it, this guy's going to beat you with scorpions as best as he can. I don't know if it's going to be the mask mandate or killing more kids or whatever. It may be all of the above. But the left has gotten angrier and more committed to their agenda, and that's been manifested in Biden's shift over just the last year. Now, I want to close on this. Steve, it turns out that the faithful may be a little less faithful, and they may be moving a little more towards Biden. This, according to Vote Common Good's recent survey, they identified a slip in evangelical and Catholic support for President Trump and a rise in support for Biden in Florida, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin by 11% over 2016. Now, this is focusing on evangelical and Catholic support. Also, a Fox News poll last month indicated a 12% increase of evangelical and Catholic support for Biden compared to 2016. So what we're looking at is an 11 to 12% turn towards the liberal or the pro-abortion candidate on the part of the evangelicals and Catholics. That according to Fox News and the Vote Common Good recent survey. Now, over the weekend, the Christian Post published an article written by Ron Sider and Richard Moo, introducing a statement which encourages pro-life evangelicals to vote for Joe Biden. All right, so this came out just this last weekend. It's a statement that was issued by the Ron Siderites, and it was signed by John Huffman, the board chair emeritus of Christianity Today. Christianity Today has been moving successively towards a pro-abortion, pro-Democrat type of agenda. Richard Foster, best-selling author of Celebration of Discipline, Jerusha Duford, Billy Graham's granddaughter, and Brenda Salter McNeil, author, speaker, and longtime leader in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. So all of these have signed this statement encouraging pro-life evangelicals to vote for Joe Biden. And the statement acknowledges themselves as pro-life evangelicals. Well, we're pro-life, you know, but we're just telling everybody to vote for Joe Biden. So pro-life evangelicals, quote-unquote, are voting for Vice President Biden and the Democratic platform on the issue of the sanctity of human life. They say, okay, we understand that we're not supporting this guy because of abortion, but they're basically pro-life on all these other issues. So because we're pro-life, they're pro-abortion, but they're pro-life on so many levels that we're going to support Vice President Biden in the upcoming 2020 elections. And what they're saying is, we believe that a biblically shaped commitment to the sanctity of human life compels us to consider the ethic of life that affirms the sanctity of human life from beginning to end. And what they're saying is that they're pro-life in that they support the solutions, the socialist solutions for poverty, the lack of health care, and climate change. All right, so that's the argument. This is so bad on so many levels, I can't count. The blindness, the deception at the most severe level for these evangelicals, quote unquote. Steve, it scares me that you could be so blind and blinded by politics like this so that you would reinterpret the Bible to these preconceived ideas. It's overwhelming to me. There's so much obfuscation, so much deception, so many lies here. It takes my breath away. This idea that, okay, because Vice President Biden is pro-life when it comes to poverty, health care, and climate change, y'all need to vote for him. Okay, that kind of reasoning is wrong on so many levels. It's so unbiblical. It's so deceptive. It's so wrong. It blows me away.
Yeah, and you know, when I look in the Bible and I look at who blinds the eyes and who clouds the mind, it's certainly not God. It's the God of this world who clouds the minds and blinds the eyes. You can I've had it where I've given reasons for belief in God, belief in the Bible, and they will agree. Somebody will agree with every premise that I give, and then I say, so what do you think is the conclusion? They come up with something so totally off. I'm going, what? How did you come up with that? And it's because the God of this world, otherwise known as Satan, blinds the eyes of the ungodly. They can't see. It's like a big fog that they're in, and I think that's part of the problem.
Well, the Revelation speaks, of course, of the deception of the nations at the hand of the dragon. And you know, we see that throughout history, but certainly in the present day, we're seeing something of the blinding of the eyes and the influence of the dragon in blinding the nations, including some of these professing Christians and the apostatizing element of the Christian church. There are at the end times, at the end, that is, after Christ's resurrection, there are Christians that are still around. But these Christians are defined as those who keep the faith of Jesus and keep the commandments of God. Both. Keeping the faith of Jesus and keeping the commandments of God. And this is what these false Christians are jettisoning in the last days. This is what they jettison. They jettison the commandments of God. They will not keep the commandments of God. They will not submit themselves to the law of God. Because the law of God forbids murder. But God's law does not require the forced redistribution of the wealth in order to protect people from starvation and hunger. That's not what the law of God says. So this idea that God's law forbids murder, but God's law also requires the forced redistribution of the wealth in order to eliminate poverty, friends, that's not biblical. That's just not the commandments of God. That's not keeping the commandments of God. That's not studying the commandments of God. That's not taking any interest in the commandments of God. That's just, I'm a Marxist, and I'm going to make the Bible say anything I want it to say because I'm a Marxist. Now, a couple other points. How many people die of starvation in America? Given that approximately 7 million babies are killed each year by the IUD, the 100% device used by women for abortifacient contraceptive, and by surgical abortion. Given that you got, 7.5 million babies killed each year by the IUD and surgical abortions. Okay, 7.5 million babies killed by the abortifacient and by surgical abortion. Okay, 7.5 million babies killed. Given that, how many people die of starvation in America? Oh, I just looked it up. Basically zero. With maybe the exception of somebody who committed suicide somewhere on a hunger strike. The primary nutritional consequence of deep poverty in the USA is guess what? The primary nutritional consequence of deep poverty in the USA is guess what?
Obesity.
It's obesity. It's not starvation. It's obesity. It's bad eating habits. It's eating themselves to death. It's alcoholism. It's drug addiction. It's idolatry. It's turning alcohol and food into idolatry and then allowing those idols to beat themselves to death. This is America's problem. The problem is more spiritual, and more often than not, the government is actually contributing to the problem by funding the problem, by welfare. Welfare is the problem. So, friends, okay, where in the Bible, Steve, question for you, where in the Bible does it say that governments need to control the climate by their policies? Where would you find that in Scripture?
I must have missed that. I think that was First Hesitations 3:5.
This shows you how these guys have a political agenda, and they're jamming Scripture into it and twisting it to the umpteenth degree to make it work for them. How many people die each year because of climate change? I looked at the how many people die every year because of climate? That was the question. Now, to guess how many people are going to die of climate issues by the year 2100 is way beyond a human's ability to prognosticate. Okay, that's something we don't do. We don't prophesy. But how many people die each year because of climate change? About twice as many people die of excessive cold conditions in any given year than of excessive heat. So evidently, global warming isn't really adding to the deaths in any appreciable way. In fact, it would be better to have more global warming than global cooling because, you know, we would save more lives that way.
Yeah, a lot of people who take a look at this forget that there was the Maunder Minimum where they were actually farming in Greenland at one time because the climate was a lot warmer. They forget about that. They think that, California is going to be underwater if the oceans rise because of the melting of the polar ice caps. But that's not at all the case. I mean, there's so much science against this, but also the Bible doesn't say anything about funding climate change.
Yeah. Well, friends, okay, about 1,300 deaths per year for global cooling and 670 deaths per year from extreme heat. So those are the stats, okay? And as I understand it, that applies to the U.S., and we're talking about electing a president here. So I'm comparing now 2,000 deaths by climate each year. And by the way, these are not to be equated with the crime of murder. Okay, another problem with Ron Sider and his ites. Guys, this is not murder. Guys, this is not the crime of murder. We're not murdering anybody here. People are dying of the cold. People are dying of the heat. This is not the crime of murder. This is the fact that people have been subjected to the cold and to the heat by staying outside a little too long, and they died of it. But there's nothing governments can do to protect 2,000 people from killing themselves and staying outside a little too long when they should have stayed indoors. You're not going to protect all of these people by government policy, okay? And unless, I guess, you can hire the nanny state to, maybe you can hire the nanny state to be sure that they add an extra layer, and maybe we can have some climate police that are sure that everybody makes it back into the house and they're not staying in 20 below weather for more than, 60 minutes. Okay. But friends, that's not the purpose of government, okay? Government isn't there to create a regulative state to be sure that nobody is completely safe from making unwise decisions and killing themselves. All right, and is it clear to everybody there's a difference between the 2,000 people who die of climate issues each year and the 7.5 million babies that are killed by the use of the IUD and surgical abortions? There's a difference here. And apparently, for some reason, there's a fairly high percentage of evangelicals and Catholics that can't tell the difference. And I think in the case of Catholics, it's over 50% of Catholics. I'm not sure how many evangelicals. I think it's upwards of 35 to 45% of evangelicals are of the liberal bent. That is, they can't distinguish between the 2,000 people who die of climate issues and the 7.5 million babies that are killed by the willful use of the IUD and the surgical abortion each year. The idea that we can control the climate by government policy is sheer ignorance. This is Trust in Science introduces the quarrelsome, the questionable issues. That's not the case when it comes to the killing of innocent life created in the image of God in the womb of the mother. Ron Sider's position, sheer wickedness, lies, and obfuscation. His position is untenable, and now he's encouraging all of us to vote for Joe Biden on this untenable basis. Friends, I would hope that at some point, there would be an outpouring of the Spirit of God such that we would rightly divide the Word of God, such that we would address these things with love, power, and a sound mind, and that we would not be so confused by all of these demonic ideas that seem to be so influential in the minds of so many people. Karl Marx himself, possessed by Lucifer, admitted himself to have been possessed by Apollyon in his own writings. And comes out with some of the most damaging and horrific policies and ideas that have ever affected human beings in the history of the world. Hundreds of millions of dead bodies as a result of his policies, tyranny unspeakable over 100 years, and yet the majority of Pentecostals and almost the majority of evangelicals, certainly the majority of millennial evangelicals, are giving way to Marxist ideas and will not root themselves in the principles of God's word. Friends, that is one of the most destructive things we've seen in this generation. And if you're voting for Joe Biden, I say shame on you. You need to be getting back into the Word of God. You need to understand the principles of God's Word. You need to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That's just the bottom line, friends. Let's root our ideas in God's Word, and let's contrast God's Word with the false ideas that have been so corrupting to the modern world. That's why I put together the book Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to give you a better contrast of worldviews, those worldviews that have been utterly destructive to the Christian faith and utterly destructive to entire societies and civilizations and political states over the last 100 years, and those principles that we have given to us in the Word of God. Let's contrast worldviews. Let's contrast a biblical worldview with these false worldviews that have come through Karl Marx, John Maynard Keynes, John Paul Sartre, and so many others that have utterly influenced the minds of the modern. Contrast these ideas. I encourage you to grab a copy of Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, and hand those copies off to your children and grandchildren as well. We need to equip the next generation so that they are ready to engage these ideas instead of running off and voting for Joe Biden for president in 2020 and the 100,000 other bad ideas that are out there. Friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.